Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Hi! Welcome!
What are you so excited for? I'm more excited than you.
You're not, and I'll tell you why.
I am. No,
I'm not.
No,
you're not,
no,
and I'll tell you why.
I'm pretty sure I am.
We have a special guest. Tell the audience who it is.
Spell his last name.
Tell the audience who it is.
It's Mr. Jamie Kaler.
It is.
He's my friend.
That's right.
I have his phone number in my phone. He's my friend. He doesn't like you.
Cool.
And he thinks you're gay.
Nah, I'm hearing all that. But what you don't understand is I've had a crush on him since... 1994.
You just peeked at Wikipedia.
I felt like he looked at my IMDb page.
Yeah, he's over there. He's gonna pull out some obscure acting gig you had on the Disney Channel.
He was Stanton on Saved by the Bell the college years.
That's right.
And I think that needs to be recognized and cherished amongst the masses.
Who was the advisor, the athlete that was on the college years? What was that guy's name?
Oh,
he was Bob Golic.
Guess
who had
Notre Dame guy.
A Stanton poster in their bedroom growing up?
Me.
Was it really?
If that poster existed,
that's just sad.
Yeah, let me stop
Why?
You right there. Let me stop you, because if that poster existed, you made it yourself.
Because I had an obsession with sea lion fucking story characters on popular shows.
Who said it was a C story?
To me, that was
my story.
I know it's an ABC story, but look, he's our special guest.
That was my A story.
That one line was my A story. What was it?
I go. It was Sarah Lancaster. She was legitimately 14 years old, and she was. They were supposed to be crashing a college party. I was in real life 30 years old, and
yes.
I was playing a 19-year-old college guy, and I was trying to get her drunk, and I was like, "Hey, you want a beer?" And she's like, I'm doing a scene with a 14-year-old girl when I'm 30. The whole thing was very uncomfortable. Everyone was very nice. But then she's like, no, I don't think I do. And I go, come on, let's a drink or something stupid. It was just so lame.
Well, that's Woody Allen in real life, so what are you going to do? Like,
No. He even takes it one step further. He adopts them.
That's what I was going
to
say.
They adopt.
What you need
it's
to
like
do
a
is
breeder
find,
program.
You need to
he
find
adopted.
Out who,
they adopted her. Me and Pharaoh adopted
You
got
to find out who her mom is.
Her real mom?
Marry the woman's mom and then adopt her, and then you hook up with her later. That's how it works.
Wait, what? Can you do that?
Yes.
Is that
legal? Here's why.
I'm not saying it's legal. That is exactly what happens.
Dan is obsessed with marrying Jared's mom.
I want to be a stepdad. I'll treat you so good.
Oh, fuck off with that.
No, I'll take you wherever you want to go.
I don't want to go anywhere.
I'll take you wherever you want.
He would make a really good stepdad.
I would. Where you're not fucking banging my mom.
I met you like recently, and it feels like I'm not sure what kind of dad you would make.
I would not make a good father.
No, you would be a terrible father.
You wouldn't at all.
Even to Jared, and he needs
to tie his kids to a tree.
I would never do that.
Wait,
I'm a very kind
back
person.
Back up. You're not supposed to tie them to a tree?
Apparently not if you live in the state of Arizona.
You just have to give them enough slack. You can't tie them directly to the tree.
Exactly.
I think the legal limit is like 15 feet of slack.
I feel like you're the only guy here who's on a show about parenting, so maybe you should take the ball on that one.
Yeah, what do you think
legal amount of slack is? No, and I'll tell you why. Bob Saget was on a show about parenting. He was a fucking dirtbag.
He is. He's not a dirtbag, but he's got a filthy ass.
Yes. Who's to say that Jamie's not a fucking dirtbag?
No, I'm a total dirtbag.
Yeah.
So not around my kids.
No. Every morning he posts something nice with his kids.
Yeah.
You don't see that kind of stuff out of me.
You don't.
You haven't seen your kids in months, probably, right?
Maybe years. You ever
choked
anybody, Jamie?
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't choked somebody?
Who hasn't choked somebody? Yeah. These are the hard-hitting questions that Drinking Bros want to know. Like, all right, great.
What's the craziest thing you guys have done when you were having sex?
Pre-dad years.
Honestly, I never thought I would survive to dad years because I drank, with a passion.
Mm-hmm. So there's hope for me?
Unbridled passion. Yeah, I actually made a pretty big... I mean, don't get me wrong. I still love a delicious cocktail. I just don't maybe do it to the extent that I did before I had children.
But you've had kids for 14 years now.
A long time, Jared.
Yeah.
What was the craziest thing you did, pre-dad or after-dad?
I never got crazy.
Come on.
I didn't. You guys already know everything.
Yeah. He's not that weird. I guess shoving that bar of soap up your ass is pretty weird.
That's right.
I'm not that. I'm not weird.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
That was for a joke. Bar of soap of his ass. That was for a joke. Story,
I mean, who hasn't shoved a bar? How else would you clean the inside of your asshole?
Exactly.
I'm confused. If you said he shoved a gerbil or a football, I'd go, well, that's kind of crazy. But a bar of soap, yeah. You at least peek into the cave.
I was trying to play a cute duck. You know,
I just wanted a tail.
Was it a full bar, like a new fresh?
It was chiseled down.
They get fucking sharp.
Instead of making a bar of soap, why don't they just make a dildo-shaped
soap
piece of soap so you could Derek clean White your butt out properly?
Have exactly. you've been to Derek White's house,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
In his master bathroom, there's a fucking dildo soap right there.
There is. It should
be
a Bin
Laden. Porn stars must
It should be Bin Laden. That way it's going into the cave. It's going in and out of the cave, and you can just Bin Laden
Well, here's
yourself.
What I do. I go to what's called an asshole dentist.
Ah.
Every 6 months, and they clean all the inside of my asshole. Professional does.
Do you bleach it?
One of those motorized, like,
I'm not a professional, okay?
Yeah, but what's going on? You can hear it.
It's water.
Feel it.
Let me ask you this. You have numerous orifices. You brush your teeth. You put a Q-tip in your ear. Why wouldn't you clean your a-hole?
I know. This is.
I mean, people
same.
Who don't are just filthy animals, and I think most of your listeners, I know for a fact, are very clean in that
area.
But
I had a guy in college who refused to, when he got out of the shower, wipe his ass crack with a towel because he was like, I'm going to reuse this towel and I'm worried about getting pink eye and whatever. And I was
like, did you wash your asshole properly?
Exactly. That's what I said.
No,
I was
your
asshole's already clean.
That's why I have a detachable shower head so I could turn the jet on and just let that stream for about.
What?
What?
That's why.
That's what it is.
It's not so you can blast your own asshole out with high water pressure. It's so you can clean it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, don't
no
you?
No one
I mean,
believes you.
Say they don't have the shower. Have you ever just laid down and then kind of nestled your butt up so you got your asshole right
that's
under
the problem.
The,
I pay
the
for
thing
convenience.
So it, oh, it yeah, comes yeah, blasting yeah, yeah. into it?
I pay for convenience.
Dan
if
pays
something
for convenience?
Is inconvenient, I'm not going to do it.
No.
So I'll spend the extra money for a nice shower head that I can blast my own asshole out with for sure.
Yeah. And that's just being cost efficient.
It's being an adult is what it is.
Exactly.
You know what I love about this show? You guys are attacking the hard-hitting issues that people need to discuss.
We need to have
a lot of people don't. They're too afraid to talk and jump
I don't
into
know
the
why.
A-hole
I don't know why that because you know what?
It's
France,
just an orifice.
Everybody's got a bidet.
Yeah.
Why don't we have bidets?
The water pressure's not high enough on those. I feel like bidets.
You
are
definitely
fake.
Want some higher water. Yeah.
Same. We've like, all used
but
that.
But still, it's a way more efficient method than what we do.
Right. Oh yeah. Just wiping it around with paper.
Yeah.
Like now let me ask you this, because I can't remember who it is, but some comedian made this joke recently, and I thought it was really not even funny. It was just spot on. If you got shit on like your forehead, would you just take a piece of paper and wipe it off and go on about your business, or would you wash your fucking face?
I'd probably wash my face.
Yeah.
You'd probably if you got shit on your face,
I'd wash my
face.
It,
yeah.
You'd probably.
But so the other night we were at Matt's house.
And you had shit on your face?
No. Oh. He's got a new dog shit all over the floor. He stepped in the shit. I think four or five of us stepped in the shit. I mean, it was fucking everywhere.
Wait, this
one of those people didn't shower that night, is all I'm going to say.
I can't abide.
And I couldn't not shower. I was like, we all stepped in the shit. One of the people did not shower that
night.
Who was
that? Like barefoot?
Yeah.
And it was him.
It was actually not Jared.
After the first guy stepped in the shit, why didn't somebody clean it up?
Because they didn't notice.
Hadn't noticed they stepped in shit with their barefoot?
7 acres worth of land. We were riding dirt bikes. We thought it was dirt.
Okay.
We thought it was, in all fairness.
That's drunk. Like,
I
if
mean,
you're
we
so
were,
drunk that
but
you don't
we were
know
also,
you stepped in shit.
We also, we thought like, it was dirt. Earlier that day, were building motorcycle jumps in the mud.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So everybody thought it was mud, and then all of a sudden, we were in a room, and one person
shit.
Screams out, "Oh, my God. There's shit all over the floor,"
sure.
And then one of those people didn't shower. I'm not going to say who it was. But yes, I do. Normal people should, but that's not everybody's
Dude,
fucking
I'll shower.
Life.
I'll shower 5-6 times a day.
Yeah, me too. Well,
yeah. I love showering. Yeah.
Me too.
But So the CBD company we've been talking to, and you guys stay tuned for all that bullshit, but
yeah.
They
CBD, like the part of pot that makes you feel no pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the high.
It promotes homeostasis.
Sure.
We'll get into all the science behind that later when we actually bring them on as a sponsor. But they sent us a bunch of bath bombs. I don't know anyone that's taken a bath that has a
60
dick
years
since they were a child.
Correct.
I love baths.
No way. Let us talk about this.
How do you? Who does?
Look
that's
at
like saying
facial structure. That's why
my
that's
wife
like
doesn't
saying,
even like baths.
Do you not like hot tubs? Do you
I
like
a
hot tub?
I love a hot tub.
Hot tub's fucking magic, right?
It's a magic. It's magical.
Hot tub is the greatest invention on earth.
It is.
There was something before that. It was just a bath. And then they said, well, this bath's fantastic. What if we made it bigger, had some friends in, put some air and serve drinks? That's a fucking hot tub. Why wouldn't you take a bath?
Yeah, but I make people, like, when I've had a hot tub before, and people shower before they go in there. Like, you wash yourself off before you get in my fucking hot tub.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want their dirty shit in there.
I don't.
And here's the thing.
I don't shower before I go into somebody's
house. You will shower at my house.
I'll fake it.
Well,
I'll pretend.
Yeah. At least
I'll splash a little water.
I don't like the.
You know what I'll do?
You know, it's so creepy. It's, you go to a pool. It's like shower before you get in the pool. Fuck off.
You got enough chlorine in this thing to kill anything. Yeah. I might rinse my hair so you think I shower, but I didn't shower.
I won't take a bath, and I'll tell you why. I feel like whatever the dirt and shit was on my body throughout the day, now I'm just swimming in it and living in this goddamn cesspool.
Well, you're also so large, you don't fit in any normal bath.
It's crazy, isn't it?
You like
Jared. Thank you for saying that.
He doesn't mean he was. Just telling me earlier that you have really plumped out.
Not even
That's what
close.
He said.
It's the goddamn
he goes, what
brick
happened
shit
to Ross?
House.
You're a monster.
He looks.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
You look like a. You know that. Like, you're either a wrestler from 1950 or the guy who
it's
takes the cannonball shot in
it's
slow
my,
motion.
No, no, I think it's
in
more
black
like.
And
it's my what
dream.
He was saying earlier.
Oh,
is he was
that's
saying,
my dream.
To take
really,
a cannonball shot?
No, I've always wanted to play Ric Flair in a
biopic.
Oh,
you're easily Ric Flair. Your hair's there.
God damn it.
What
he was actually saying earlier is you look like a can of Pillsbury biscuits. If
somebody cracked it on the fucking
Jared, we've got photographic evidence. We've already done this show, brother. I'm huge. There's nothing we can do about it. But what we can do is get me and is Ric Flair in that new Hulk Hogan biopic on Netflix.
Let me call some people. I don't know anybody.
No, but you have a great voice. You could be the announcer.
I do have a fantastic voice.
Do you do any voiceover work?
Yeah, he does a bunch of video games and cartoons.
I am the bloopers host on Robot Chicken.
No
shit. I love that.
God damn
it. We have a guy from Robot Chicken here.
That's a mic drop. You were also in the military, by the way.
I was in the Navy.
What's it like banging dudes?
So sort of in the military, then.
What's it like banging dudes?
Yeah.
Same as banging chicks.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Feels pretty good.
Hey. Smell better or
you
worse?
Sold me. I'm
port in a storm.
I like Johnny B. from the Jerky Boys used to say, a hole's a hole as long as there's a little heat in there. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a 2019 mentality.
Sure. Listen, man, would you care however anybody gets their rocks?
No,
off?
No.
Less, you really
but
don't.
It's still, I'm not going to let
feel
it
bad
stop
for people,
being funny to me.
Oh, it's hilariously funny. But I feel bad for people who don't feel comfortable enough in their own skin to go out and go, hey, I like fucking sheep. Let me see if I can find a nice sheep that I want to, you know, like if you're doing whatever
some,
you want to
do. A sheep you can settle down with.
Yeah, well, that's why not, you wear the long boots.
If you got a really good, smart sheep, like you were splicing some dolphin genes with a sheep, and you trained it to lay down everywhere you went, and you name it Pillow. And it's like your portable pillow.
That's actually not the worst idea I've ever heard.
It's
from
not, but I like how you casually slipped in dolphin in there. There's again,
I
not
think
a reason
talking
for
about
a
the intelligence
dolphin.
Of dolphin.
I was saying let's get some dolphin intelligence into a sheep.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because a sheep natural programming is just walk around, bah, and eat grass.
Sure.
All right. Let's get some fucking sonar.
But they
programming
are delicious.
In there.
Sheep are delicious.
Exactly.
Oh, they absolutely.
Have
are.
You
we
tried dolphin?
We just bought one the other day.
Oh my god, dolphin's fantastic.
Yeah. See, we don't.
Wait,
have
wait.
A
are you being real? You've
oh,
had
yeah.
dolphin.
Yeah. We don't have
where?
A whole lot
where
of.
Where were
guests.
You?
They serve in restaurants in Florida. Dolphin.
No.
Bahamas. I told you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the highest consumption of dolphin meat. Is
it
Bahamas.
Is dolphin. Yeah.
You're kidding. You don't feel guilty ordering that.
No, but I will tell you, there's a fish called a dolphin.
Yeah, mahi mahi.
Yeah,
it's a dolphin.
No,
right?
We're talking about a bottlenose.
You're talking
dolphin.
About a
he's
mammal.
He's talking
dolphin.
About a real.
No, I've never
like
had
a flipper.
I've never eaten.
There we go.
I've never eaten.
Would
flipper.
You be interested in going to? There's a couple of islands in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean that serve dolphin meat. Would you?
We
be
need to try.
There's a place you can listen.
You can get anything.
If you
anywhere.
Have enough money, you can get anything
yes.
you want.
Well,
yes.
that's
and
thing.
Somewhere
so,
right now, somebody's being cloned in South America.
Absolutely.
So we know what's happening.
In China, they're making CRISPR babies right now for exactly what they want them to be.
That's right.
And they're going to come over and fucking beat our asses.
Like Hannah, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And you know what I haven't seen in a while? A creepy crawlers advertisement.
Oh, God. I'm not even getting into that. Let's get into Jamie, what you do.
Let's get into me.
First of all, in all seriousness, you're one of Jared's favorite comedians. When we came out to L.A., he was like, dude, we got to get Jamie on the show. I fucking love him. Everybody knows you from My Boys on TBS.
It's true.
But you've had a long, long career. How did you get into stand-up and acting out of the military? Because we have about 80% of our listeners are military or first responders. Explain that to the audience because it's really, really fucking difficult to do.
It's pretty amazing when I met Jared that I mean, when you guys came along, all these guys are doing it now. But when I got out in 87. I got out in 92. I was in 87 and 92. And nobody, there were no military guys. There was no help. There was no internet to try to figure out how to get into acting. And I was in San Diego, and I just got out. And my one friend was like, hey, I'm in this improv group, and there's some hot chicks. You should come, and you're funny. And I was like, I'm in. And so I'd never acted before, but I kind of fell in with this comedy group. And then that was kind of my go-to. And then I just stumbled my way up the chain. But what you guys are doing has just invigorated guys coming out of the military, really. You've given guys hope that wasn't really available. When I went to get in the military, my father was so pissed. When I got out, he was like,
is it because you joined the Navy?
He wanted me to go in the Navy. He wanted me to stay in the Navy and do 20.
Really?
Yeah. So when he was pissed when I got retired, when I came out. Yeah.
I see. When you came out.
Yep.
You want to talk more about that?
I came out of the military.
Mm-mm. Came out of the military. And I came out of the closet.
I do a joke, actually. It's funny because, so when I was like 40, I was still single.
Wait, how old are you now? Because you don't look 40.
54.
Fuck off.
Wow, dude. Wow. You're aging
Dan's age.
That's a Russian tank. A T-54.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Dude,
what the fuck are you talking about?
You look great.
A Russian tank, a T-54.
Hey,
you don't know any of your tanks.
Jamie, no homo, you look great, man.
Thanks, man.
For real.
Yeah, you look beautiful.
A little bit.
It's those baths.
A little bit of homo.
It's a lot of baths.
It's a lot of baths. So you've just been taking baths consistently since 1987.
Dude, and not only that, but I bathe probably 20, 21 hours a day.
Wow.
Ah, I like that.
I stay in liquid, and I fill it with paraffin.
A lot of steam stuff. A
lot of steam.
Very splash.
By the way, paraffin is candle wax.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I'm like that. You know some things.
I know a lot of
paraffin.
Things.
That's how my skin stays nice and
is
supple.
Is it really?
Yeah. Here, feel.
So you get
everybody
out of the
my skin.
You get out of the Navy.
Here, feel. Hold on. Feel my skin.
How do you go? I'll feel your skin.
Feel this.
I'll
let
feel
me
your
stop.
Skin.
How soft is this?
This Navy guy keeps
feel
trying
this.
To get us to feel his skin.
No, feel this.
No, it's inside the rectum skin.
Can you feel this? I'll make it.
I want you to feel my wall skin.
Oh, your wall skin. Those sugar walls.
It's not that soft anymore. It's getting a little bit harder. Feel a little bit more. Give it a rub.
Yeah, no. Put some lubricant on
it. There you go.
I feel like I've been tricked before.
Yeah, you have.
At the end of the show, he's like, did I just give that guy a hand job?
I definitely have.
You know,
I always
fall
for the just smell it line.
That episode got away from me.
Because I felt like I just jacked that guy.
I always fall for that just smell it
just
line.
Just smell it.
Just smell it. Come on, just smell it.
Do you think you could tell, as a Navy guy, do you think you could tell the quality of a man's penis by the smell?
Well, I would, not even as a Navy man, as a human, I think you could. I mean, it's like, it's like a wound. It's like if it smells, you know it's gangrenous. Don't go near that wound.
Yeah.
So wound and
very
not womb.
True.
Yeah. I see where you're going.
But also,
you're doing some rhyming schemes. I love that.
I'm not bringing it all together.
It's very Eminem, Mom's Spaghetti. I like it a lot.
Womb,
when you left
room,
the military, though,
could be my tomb.
How did you get into stand-up and acting?
So let me stay with you, because you're the guy
Christ.
Who stays on track.
Trying to.
Good luck
trying
with these two.
Hey, this is off the goddamn rails.
We were talking about wall skin over here. That's important.
Yeah.
They're like moths that just kind of get attracted by a different light. So I got out, and I wanted the job that paid you the most for the least amount of work. And acting seemed like
that's
that
amazing
job. Yep. Right.
That's not a bad plan, yeah.
And so I was in San Diego, and I got a job bartending. And then I started acting, and I started working. And,
what was your first gig?
My first job was my first audition. I was in an improv group, and some woman came. She's like, hey, I am an agent. I'll rep you. I'll send you out if you want. And I go, sure. And so she that week she goes, hey, I have a commercial audition for SeaWorld. And I went and I booked it. And so
shut the fuck up.
My first job I ever got was the first audition, and I went, booked a SeaWorld commercial. I made like $30,000 off of one day's work. And
which is amazing.
This is the greatest job ever. I, of course, didn't work again for like six more months. But
that's a year's worth of, come on. That's a year's worth.
60 years ago.
And then
ago
I did,
that's
more
than
Renegade.
In 1948, when you had $30,000 cash, that went a long way.
Dude,
yeah, I could have, back in those days.
I mean, you were able
retired.
To buy
that was a billion loads of
Ford Model T for $3,000.
Yeah.
Done
the Model T had just come out that year.
Exactly.
And I,
Henry Ford had said it was going to change
Henry
the world.
Ford.
Extra.
Yeah.
You no longer have to ride a horse.
But you've done Friends. You've done Third Rock in the Sun. Will and Grace.
Will and Grace. Sure.
Were you a coffee shop employee?
I worked with Gene Wilder on Will and Grace.
Oh, Gene Wilder.
Oh, he was the best.
Where
the
fuck
bomb.
Is Gene Wilder?
He's dead.
I know
dead.
Now, but
he's
like, dead. Where the fuck was he for the last 30 years of his life?
You know what? He honestly, when he started,
he worked when he wanted to, and he was
correct.
He didn't work when he didn't want to.
Yeah,
I know. I just missed.
friends.
I know we
Jennifer Aniston.
Yep.
Jay Aniston.
She was very nice.
She's
was
very
she?
Nice.
She, they, I'm she sorry. Was very nice.
Do you
to me.
Think she has a hint of crazy girlfriend in her? Why does she go through all these husbands?
I think she's career oriented, and I don't know. I don't, maybe she didn't want to have a family, and other people did. I don't know. But she was very nice.
She's
person.
Got no kids. She's what, 53 now?
50. Yeah. She's turned 50.
I gotta tell you, she's got a new show too, doesn't Smart Water, but she is aging fantastic. She looks.
Oh yeah,
cool.
Well, so
she's yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
You both are taking a lot of. Benefits.
Yeah, it's the Smart Water. Yeah.
Are you doing anything extracurricular? Any HGH? Any of that shit?
No, like? You got any?
Fuck. Oh yeah,
I
we know.
Like
well,
Dan is AIDS.
Are you juicing
Dan
up?
Is, but yeah,
he's
yeah.
got HGH.
If you get so here's the thing with AIDS now
with AIDS, it's almost yeah. gone. They got a cure for it.
Yes, well, correct.
That's the thing. So part very of the close. Cocktail for AIDS is HGH.
As a, yeah, human growth hormone.
Yeah,
makes
that's
sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So you just get
so that's in there. So when you like look at like Charlie Sheen, why you're like, why is that motherfucker jacked? And he's because he's got AIDS. HGH is in there. That's part of the cocktail. So yeah. So if you get AIDS, that'll be a shortcut to. To all of that.
So then you could justify it and you could say, yeah, oh, I do HGH, but I got AIDS. Is that so you can do it that way?
I don't know. For some reason, I just don't see that as a deterrence anymore for anybody. It's like
AIDS?
Yeah.
Only like, poor hey, people AIDS. Die like, of AIDS now, for sure.
Okay. Well, only poor people die of anything, it feels like at times.
Well, then there's Luke Perry that comes around, and you're like, why? Why take that precious little angel? Drop. You know what I'm saying? You could have taken
Amy
a poor
Schumer's out there
hobo.
Running around doing her thing, and Luke Perry dies?
Listen. Yeah, you could have taken a poor hobo
oh, is
off
this,
the street.
Is this
street,
show
anti-Amy
Amy Schumer?
I don't care one way or the other.
Oh, I'll say it. I fucking hate Amy Schumer.
Why? Was she mean to you?
I think she was really funny up until about 3 years ago, and then she just started going all social justice. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Shit happens. I get it, though.
She
you made get to
here's
that
what
level.
Happens with every female comedian, though.
It's
you get big,
man.
And then all of a sudden it is We Are Women, and that gets piled on you.
But if you knew the shit she had to put up with to get to where she is.
Oh, I'm sure, but she I'm made sure. her bones
I mean,
making
as a,
like
as
crazy
a comic on the
jokes.
Road, it, you should see the way... Women are treated, I think, way worse than men are. And men, for men, it's horrible.
That's an every... Yeah. That's
yeah. fucking that, screaming at you, drunk, every yeah, show's
that's
the
an
same.
Every profession.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's an
in
every profession in
circumstance.
Life. So
like,
why are you different? Why are you treated differently than any other profession? You walk in an Olive Garden during all-you-can-eat, you know, fucking endless pasta night, those waitresses are treated the same goddamn way. And they don't make as much money
bitch.
As Amy. Yeah,
yeah
right. Fuck you. I say it's endless salad. I need more fucking salad. Amy Schumer's
no different.
The
funny thing
no
about
different.
Amy Schumer was that she did not give a fuck about people's feelings, right?
Yes.
The great
she
thing about Amy Schumer that, right? is that she's fucking great at telling jokes. She's a really good joke teller.
Yeah, but
I did. So I was headlining Gotham City in New York. I was on My Boys at the time, and I was doing a week at Gotham, which mm-hmm. is this fantastic club. It's on like 20th and 7th, I think, right by the Chelsea Hotel, mm-hmm. where Sid Vicious did his damage. And so for the Sunday night show, they call me and they go, hey, you're going to have a couple of drop-ins tonight.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure you're okay with it. Is it okay if Jerry Seinfeld shows up and does a show?
You're like, hey!
Is it okay if Jesus shows up and serves fish and bread?
Exactly, yeah. Like
I show up.
Christ
it's
Party of
Sunday,
13.
And they said, we have this new comic, this younger comic, Amy Schumer. And I go, fantastic. Yeah, whoever's on. And so we'd go do the shows. It's a small crowd, like maybe 100 people in the room. Amy Schumer goes on before me. She's great. She's a great joke teller. It was before she was hugely famous. She was unbelievably sweet, nice, told fantastic jokes, did her time, got off. Seinfeld goes on, does 20 minutes. He goes, I'll only do 20. Does 20, just destroys the room. I have to go on after Seinfeld.
How do you go on after Seinfeld?
You know what you do is what I did. I went on and I talked about Jerry Seinfeld for the first 5 minutes and said, I got to tell you, I'm like you guys. Fucking Seinfeld was just here. Yeah. And so they were kind of on board and then... You know, he took some questions at the end and let the energy kind of come down. And then, so it was great. I ended up talking about him for 5 minutes. And then I had to do like 45 minutes after.
He knows what he's doing up there. He's not going to send you off.
He also doesn't waste a word. He's such a pro. I mean, I think he's even talked about the fact that he has said that he believes he's even on the outside of the spectrum. Like, Asperger's are very, very meticulous about everything. So he never gets up and goes, what should we talk about? He gets up and he's like, God damn, he works hard. He was doing 20 minutes, and they were all kind of newer jokes, and he just got up and did 20 minutes, committed. They were magnificent.
To the second. Like,
never fucked around. Never, like, broke from the joke and talked to people that much. Just did his material, and then he did some Q&A at the end, but he was fantastic to watch.
But that's what a pro is.
He's such a pro.
Because usually, you know, if you're doing...
It takes me 5 minutes to say hi to people.
Exactly, and if
around,
you're doing new material and you're fucking around with
he
people...
He walked up, hit joke one, you're like, God damn, that fucking guy's good.
Yeah.
And this new thing he's doing, the comedians in cars having coffee, he's doing that. I feel like he's doing, because I've watched a lot of it, I feel like he's doing it to help other people.
Like he is, and to keep his foot in, I think he's one of those guys.
Because he's a goddamn billionaire at this point, right? He doesn't need any more money.
No, he's good. He actually owes people money.
But he loves comedy so much. He does. If you're in New York, he's still jumping up. Yeah. He's writing.
Isn't
he writes every
everybody
day.
In the circle? Like, well, is anybody it?
Eddie Murphy, Adam Sandler stopped doing stand-up for years. They became movie stars, and all of a sudden they don't have an act. And so they get terrified to go back up. They don't want to eat shit. Because I've also seen, I just did a show with Chris Titus. You know Titus?
Yeah. Titus did great stand-up for years.
Great show he used to have.
Titus. It's called Titus. So he got up.
And it was, who was the dad? The guy from the fucking Cheech and
Chong show.
Movies.
I'm totally kidding.
No, it was the Stacey Keach, yeah.
Yes. It was his dad.
Great,
it was great
show. That was a great show.
So Titus does more one-man shows where it's like a John Leguizamo. I have a story to tell. There's jokes in here. So he had just finished shooting his special for the first one, and we get up. It's like a Sunday night at Flappers. There's maybe 50 people in the audience, and he gets up, and I go, ugh, I'm going after him. And so we're talking beforehand. He's like, oh, don't worry about it, dude. He goes, I'm trying all new stuff. And he goes, I'm going to eat shit. And I, you know, you cringe, and you go, you don't want to eat shit, but he has the courage to get up and do the jokes he wrote, hoping he'll get – he'll see what works, and he even talks about it at the beginning. He goes, hey, everybody. And they were like, oh, my God, Titus is here, thinking they're going to get a polished 20. They're not.
Yeah.
He, how else do you work it out? So he wrote 10 minutes, got up, memorized it, got up, performed it. You know, some of them bombed, some hit. And so he talks about the fact I'm working out a show. And so he'll keep all those jokes. He'll get rid of the rest. He'll do it again until he has another 90-minute show, and then he'll go film it as a special. But people don't understand that, and some idiot will film it and then put it up online and go, oh, I saw Titus eat a bowl of shit. Yeah, he's fucking working it out. And
he
that's
bombs.
What
he fucking sucks. And you're like, dude, I'm in the Chappelle theory where you should lock your cell phones in a bag when you walk in.
They just did it. I was at the Improv the other night.
Yeah, but I thought every comedy
they're doing
show
that now.
I've been to now is no phones.
No phones.
And it should be
God.
Because you're always working on new shit. Yeah.
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 And who are you to own footage of me?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you? You're not a. I didn't hire you as my documentary crew. Who gave you the fucking right to take my image and do what you want
with
it?
Well, how long?
Because they can cut it and fuck you up. And
when you start a new set, when you come across a new, like, I don't know how long your shows usually are, but if you start a new 30, 45, how long do you go through that whole process, like 3 to 6 weeks maybe, before you go
longer,
do a major
longer
set
than that.
It's like the first album for a band.
Yeah.
It takes years.
Yeah. Some comedians, it's like 18 months.
Everybody's
just,
first hour is, I mean, it's got to be years. It takes you 5 years before you even know who the fuck you are. And then 8 or 9 years in, you start to go, man, I might have an hour. And then, like, certain guys, like Bill Burr, what they do is they're so prolific. And they're up on stage every night.
Yeah.
Doing three sets around town.
That dude doesn't fuck around.
He does not fuck around.
But they'll start at like Comedy Store, go to Improv. Right. I mean, they'll hit it
methodically.
But he's
also a machine now. So as soon as he has such a point of view that whatever material you give him will go into the filter, come right out the machine, and there it is as a Bill Burr joke.
I've seen him half a dozen times live, and every time it's been different, but every time it's the same basic formula. Like,
what the fuck? Yeah, what the Boston guy who's fucking angry
but
about
he always,
shit.
What the fuck is this about?
He does a little bit of homework about the local place he's doing, and he'll just like riff on the crowd for the first 15. I'm like, wow, this is really impressive. Because
but he probably featured at that club 8 or 9 different years. He went as a feature and open for people before they finally headlined him and before he finally got credits. Yeah. Gaffigan, I used to do My Boys with, and he told me the first 10 years he was on the fucking
road. Love Gaffigan.
Have you seen an you probably have. Not a lot of people have seen an unclean Jim Gaffigan show. And it's not funnier, but it's different. And
he doesn't, you know, you talked about it because when he first started, he was dirty.
Yeah.
And then the rule of thumb was if you want to get on TV, get clean. And so he finally cleaned up his act. And now he is the economist of words. Not one word in his act is wasted. When you see his act, we went down. He was down here.
His wife is one of his writers.
She is.
Yeah.
And she played his wife on our show, on My Boys. They hired her.
Correct.
And, you see his act, and you're like, you can take any one of his jokes, and you couldn't. There's not one word you could pull out. You know what I mean? Where you're just like,
there's no exposition.
It's mathematically a perfect joke. Where you're like, they just it's crafted to this point where you're like, when you watch him, that's why it's like he gets 10 laughs a minute. Every 6 seconds is another laugh.
Seriously.
Like, you're like, there's no, Brian Regan, maybe there's a handful of guys.
Regan's
who get that
the same, yeah.
Man, people love Regan.
I fucking love Brian Regan.
Well, let me ask you one guy that everybody loves who's crushing it, Forbes-wise. When I saw his numbers, because they had the top comedians, the top grossing comedians last year, there's a guy named Sebastian Maniscalco.
Huge.
Why?
He sold out Madison Square Garden like three straight times.
Why? And are you a fan?
I am. He's a really funny cat, and I've met him a handful of times over the years. To his credit, It's like guys like him, Bert Kreischer, Joe Coy.
Bert, I know, and
they're on stage,
and it's great.
Sebastian,
though, to me is like my wife's sauce is so fucking thick. Yep. Where you're like,
yep, he acts out everything.
I can't get into that.
It's not for you.
It reminds me of a late '80s comic to me, where it's just like it doesn't fit today's world. Dan, get the fuck off your phone.
I do get that.
I was looking up that dude's face. I recognize him.
Yeah.
I mean, certain comics, if it's not your taste, it's like bands.
Is it your taste?
It doesn't appeal to me as much, his act, but I can see it and I can see the genius of it.
Why is that financially so successful in today's world?
He reminds me of Dom Herrera. Remember the guy?
Dom Herrera, still, he's probably at the Laugh Factory.
He's probably doing three sets tonight.
I fucking love that guy.
Yeah.
He used to tell this joke about how he used to do a class to teach Italians how to be more Italian. It's one of my favorite fucking bits he does.
Well, look at Russell Peters. It has a very specific, you know, Joe Coy has a Filipino thing going.
Yes.
You get your,
I feel like
you
Coy
find
got
your
a
niche.
Pretty broad acceptance.
Coy's
too,
just
though.
Funny.
Yeah, he's a funny
just
guy.
Funny as
you
shit.
You find Sebastian funny.
I do find Sebastian funny. Whether his material strikes home with me or not, I'm not an Italian guy who's like, who's make the sauce, but I can see it. I get it.
Because to me, it reminds me of the old school Seinfeld school of comedy in the 80s.
Sure.
Stay clean.
Richard Jenny.
Yes. Stay clean. Really?
Yeah.
Stay, you know, on TV
he's
all the time
story.
Or whatever. To me, in today's comedic environment, which is I'm stoked you're on the show today, we're very limited. Like, to be a stand-up comedian is fucking hard these days.
Unfortunately, it feels like everyone on earth is doing it.
But
it used to be like people were
really
terrified, and now everyone is like, hey, I'm an empty nester. I'm going to do I see these shows all over town where everyone's like, I'm going to do stand-up. I go, and they think they're going to get up a handful of times and put together. And it's like, no, dude. Like, before my kids were born, I was on stage 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
Eating shit. Killing just three wherever I could get on stage. I did laundromats. I did bowling alleys. I did youth hostels where nobody spoke fucking English.
But in today's PC society, right? How do you get away with? I feel like Chappelle, Bill Burr. There's a podcast you can get away with it.
They're established. Yeah.
Rogan and all those guys can get away with it.
It feels like comedy's changing
feel,
to me.
Exactly. And how does that change your act?
It doesn't change my act per se because I've always been I just tell stories. I'm very autobiographical. So before I had kids, I talked about drinking and partying and being the single guy who all my friends got married and had kids. And I used to rail against, why would people have so many children? You know, what are you, a farmer from the 1800s? There's no reason to have 16 kids anymore. They cured polio. All you're doing is fucking up traffic. I used to do stuff like that. And now I have two kids. So my whole act is about having children. So nothing affects my act because I just get up and talk about my own life. But I do see that kids today are telling, they get up and it's almost like videos sometimes where if you put out a really polished video, it won't get the same type of response as a guy who just talks to camera and goes, hey man, I'm out in front of Walgreens and what's up with fucking toenail clippings?
Right.
And that video will get billions of views, but the guy who does it on a green screen and adds all kinds of polish and smoke and mirrors, people are like, poo-poo, I don't want to see that. They almost want it raw. They want it raw, right?
Right.
And I feel like stand-ups become that way. I've done shows at places lately, and if it's a younger crowd, sometimes if you do straight set-up punchline stuff, they're like, we're not buying that shit, dude. Almost want to see some kid meander through a story about his latest Uber ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like a 10-minute story that has no point, no punchline.
No structure to
but
the jokes.
But what do I fucking know? I feel like...
I mean, what are those two dudes right now that just got really popular in the last year that keep trolling the fucking city government out here in Los Angeles, in Hollywood?
Didn't see it.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
JT
yeah.
and...
They want to build a Paul Walker statue down in San Diego. They're on... Which is great, but they're not stand-up comedians.
No, they're
yes.
on Fox News all
but
the time,
they,
too. It's
they,
so yeah. funny.
They started going to city government meetings here in Hollywood and proposing the most fucking obtuse things that you could think of.
Like, that seems funny to me.
They're
it's
filmed.
Really
it's so
funny.
Okay, all right, that seems
but,
really
but,
funny.
But they
what
know
was
they're
the
filmed,
one?
They
the
know
one
they're public
they,
access.
Like,
you can take the footage,
were they
then
both
you can upload
stood
it online.
Up and they wanted the right to, they needed more water or something like that to hold a fucking wet t-shirt contest or something. But
they're
pushing this forward in city government.
Right.
Like, this is why I think we need this. And now Fox News is putting them on there. Like, what do you guys think about that? Yeah, they proposed that a giant statue of Paul Walker needed to be built here in Hollywood.
I feel like it should.
Yeah, well, so do I.
One of my
R.I.P. Paul Walker.
One of the favorite things I've seen lately is when they were on Fox News and one of the kids had just bleached his hair and like teased out. And the host from Fox was like, dude, what the fuck happened to your hair? And he goes, oh, that's a sick burn, bro.
Yeah. Which it is. So funny, which it is. Man. But those guys aren't stand up comedians.
No, they don't.
I think stand up is almost dying because you don't need to. Like when I moved here, the only way to get into the business was to do theater. So I joined a comedy theater company, Acme, and we did sketches every Friday, Saturday. We put our hats and wigs and mustaches on, and we did sketches in front of like 12 people on
Hollywood
Friday
Boulevard.
Fucking night. Nowadays, some kid living in Minnesota goes, I don't need to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'll shoot a fucking video in my backyard. I'll get 12 million views like you guys.
That's what I learned. That's
what I
learned
from Jared.
You get to
the point where you're
like, yeah.
But that's what people want, and it's funny, and it doesn't. You don't have to do this. You don't have to go through the same system that I had to go through. You created your own thing to a point where we even talked about it earlier that, like, for you, like, YouTube stars to go to a network would take a pay cut. Why would they ever do that? Like, television is dying on the vine, and they know it. They're scrambling. They're trying to do all access. Like, oh, you're going to have to pay. They don't know how to monetize it anymore. You guys are the innovators of what's happening, and you're going to create what the next form of comedy is. The same way, like when Monty Python came out, you know, there was some older dude who's like, that's not fucking funny. Yeah.
Right.
But we were kids and we were like, that's so fucking
God.
Funny.
Yeah,
oh my God, a naked
kids
guy playing piano.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
but and a lot of people said that Comedy Central Presents, when Comedy Central first started out, like reinvigorated the stand up community
absolutely.
In a lot of ways. What's the next thing? Is it this?
What is the next
the fucking,
thing?
Is it the internet?
What is the next thing? I don't know, but I think about like Richard Pryor. Like he's to me my favorite comic of all time. I loved Pryor.
Everybody goes to Pryor.
Because he was the first of my generation. He was the first guy. I mean, he told stories that you wanted to tell about having a heart attack and being a fucking coke fiend and made them funny, which nobody had done that before. I mean, I guess Lenny Bruce kind of started to.
Yeah.
But even he devolves at the end of just reading transcripts. But you know some dude who was older saw what Pryor was doing and was like, oh, he's just being a potty mouth. That's not the comedy I grew up on, but for a whole next generation. So what will be the next iteration of comedy? I don't know. But I feel like stand-up, this traditional, I'm going to tell you about airplane food, is not what it is.
I don't know, but my wife's sauce is so thick.
Hey, let's take a moment to appreciate, I think, what is the funniest thing to come out of 2019 so far is Michael Rapaport's cat.
Oh, that cat.
Just did stand up with him. Tuesday night, I just did stand up with Michael Rapaport at the Improv.
Oh, so by the way, tell me this.
I'd never seen him do stand up before.
So yes, wait. Let me ask you.
He was great.
So Rapaport was on our show, right? Joe Rogan actually posted. He said, look, hey, man, I know there's a lot of fucking bullshit comedians coming out of the podcast world or whatever, but he goes, Michael Rapaport's legit.
I said the same thing to my friend. That's so funny.
So it's true.
Come look at this fucking cat.
I was so intrigued to watch him because I think he's a wonderful actor. He's always great in whatever he's in. And so I watched him. But you know what the difference is? Do you have material? And he did. He told great stories about growing up in New York, and they had a lot of punchlines. And he's such, like, it's like certain guys, Chappelle, Harlan Williams, they have a funny cadence. Mm-hmm. They speak funny.
Right.
Some people do, some people don't. Rappaport's just fucking funny.
He's great.
So he rambles through a story which could go south eventually, but he had a point. And it really was great. I thought I was like, God damn, that dude could have easily been a fantastic stand-up. And he's doing it now.
He was one of our best episodes that we've had on this show.
Because he's crazy.
Yeah. Yes. And he goes, hey.
In a wonderful
way. He doesn't
care.
He'll just say whatever.
Not only does he not care, but we didn't know him from Adam. And he goes, you're in New York? Yeah. And he goes, great. Here's my address. Come over to my house. We'll do the show in like 20 minutes. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. We'll put the Knicks game on the background. We'll watch the game, fuck off, and we'll do a show for however. The show went, my wife was with me, the show went almost like 2 hours, and the game was on or whatever, and he goes, oh, fuck, we've been going this long?
Yeah.
Great. Awesome, man. I love you. Take care. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Didn't know him from Adam. And
funny
it was
as shit.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great fucking guy.
It's cool to see because I will tell you, I mean, the whole stand-up world, it's like, I love when comics are getting pissed that Stormy Daniels is headlining comedy clubs. Did you see that whole thing?
Oh, yeah, because that's
know,
real.
Did you see it?
It's real, yeah.
So all these comics were up in arms like, who the fuck does she think she is? She's taking a weekend at the Chuckle Hut in Kansas City. And Party is like, well, you weren't getting that week anyway. What the fuck do you care?
Yeah.
And, you know, if she can sell tickets, all the power to her. I mean, people are trying to earn money. Jeremy Piven's doing stand-up, and it's like it's one way
I
to
heard,
go out.
I heard that didn't go well. I had a friend
he's
go
still
to,
doing it.
I
haven't
a friend
seen it
go
yet.
To that, and they said it was almost uncomfortable.
You know, the thing with Piven is this. He got Me Too'd. He's trying to slowly work his way back into to everything else. I've met him numerous times. He is not a stand-up comedian. I have no problem saying that. Then there's a lot of
he's
people.
He's not a comic.
And your, well, what and, my your friend world, said in your world,
he literally
there's a lot of people that
like,
are
he would like start to bomb and he would go back just being Ari, and everybody would laugh. And when he'd get comfortable, he'd go to try and shift it to.
Well, that here's the thing: when you're super famous already, right? Yeah. You have an advantage stepping on that stage where 75% of the time, you can probably attest to this, people are going to laugh no matter what because they're already used to your face.
Yeah. The first 15 minutes are free.
Yes.
That's what they say.
And then after
and
that,
then after that if you're doing a full hour,
fight.
It's
yeah.
a street fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
And the other thing is, people don't like when you're the feature, it's the rocking chair because you got to get up and do 20 minutes. The opener already got up. Everyone's got their drinks. Everyone's settled in. They're attentive. You get up. Destroy 20 minutes, right? Then the headliner comes up. People are like, oh, I'm so excited for the headliner, but they kind of have to piss. A few people are going out. Yeah. They want to get, well, let me get one more round while he's on. They're watching time. They're kind of starting to think about a babysitter. All of a sudden, the checks come out with like 20 minutes left. Yeah. And then they're doing math at the table while you're trying to tell jokes. And he's like, hey, you had, so did you have the two Cosmos? And they're cutting
two cards. Two cards. Yeah, we're putting on two cards, right? Two cards,
and
yeah.
So if you don't have, if you're not a destroyer headliner, it can go south real quick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people leave going, boy, the feature was great.
Yeah, 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 right?
Which happened to me. That's happened to me many times. I had featured for guys who were big name headliners, and I had 20 minutes rocking. Like, I didn't waste a word. Had 20 minutes polished. I would get up, fucking hit it. Hit the deck plates running. 20 minutes. Ah, see you later.
Yep.
Get off the stage. The other guy who would get up after me might be a more quiet comic and more peaceful, and it went south. And then the next day I went to the club, and the guy was like, hey, we just do 10 tonight. Just 10.
Yeah.
And no swearing.
Cut your legs off. You're like, wait,
wait,
wait.
And you can't swear. They told me I couldn't swear, and they said, do only 10.
Oh,
and,
God.
Because the dude was, yeah, it's what happens when before you headline, when you start featuring and destroying, then you start to feel like, oh, I should headline. And then you headline, and some dude goes on before you, and all of a sudden, as the week goes, he's doing more and more jokes that are really similar to your fucking act.
Yeah.
And you have to take him to the side and go, hey, I have a bit, which you didn't do the first night, but all of a sudden, day three, you're doing something really similar to this block. You're kind of fucking me, dude. It was like, oh, but they want, you know, they're the local guy. They want to fuck over. They want to blow out the doors on the headliner. And so all of a sudden, you're in this fucking war, and they're filthy. They're telling fucking crazy stories. And you're like, dude, you got to clean it up a little bit. And all of a sudden, you're the headliner who tells the feature to go, stop doing that. And you don't bring your fucking guitar on stage before me. You change the fucking room, dick.
Are you talking about Nick Thune?
I'm kidding.
Thune's one of my
like
really
is he coming to do
good
the show?
Friends. No, he's been in like three of my movies. I've cast him in like three movies. Thune's one of my favorites. But there is.
Did you play in his golf tournament?
No.
You know, he has a golf tournament for his kids.
Of course. Yeah. He's a diehard. He's a sports fan. You wouldn't.
Yeah, he's a nut. Yeah.
You wouldn't
like
figure
it
looking at him. Looking at him. So, like, for you.
He's just a delicious boy.
Being a guy is the best. Being a guy who's been in the game for so long, who are your favorite young comics coming up right now? That you find most interesting, where you're like, "Fuck, man, I want to go see this guy."
I don't see anybody. The only people I see anymore are people who are on my shows. I don't know.
What do you think of the podcast guys that are coming up?
Well, I wish I had found that world when it was like, God damn, you don't even have to write jokes; just show up and sell out podcasts.
And crush.
Because that is kind of my forte. I'd rather do that than have to like, oh, here's my polished act.
Yeah,
just riff on
you
people.
You can come
and shit,
on and
yeah.
talk about dicks for 2 hours.
You know. I'm a big fan of anything that people are into. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what I like.
What do you think about Theo Von? I'll throw some names.
I love Theo. You know, we go way back.
I don't.
He's a good cat.
Yeah, so he's been going at it for a long time.
A long time.
He's one of our most requested guests. We're trying to get him on this week.
Have you talked to him? Is he coming? He's the bomb.
We've talked to him back and forth, but he is yet to come.
Hardest working guy in show business. He's like he came off of Road Rules or something, right?
He did, yes.
Off of MTV.
Yeah, and so he had a rough go of it for
at first, but he like anybody else, he got up and to his credit, he got on stage every night, and all of a sudden you started to see jokes, and you're like, fuck, that guy's getting good, and now he's a killer. He's a crusher.
He's great.
He's crushing, yeah.
What about Gerard Carmichael?
You know, I've seen him live a couple times. I've never met him. Very funny. Very funny cat. I thought Jermaine Fowler was really funny.
Gerard's is the reason why I bring this up. His delivery and his jokes are really fucking weird to me.
He's got an off cadence.
In a great way.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it where you're like, are these jokes or is this like your real life and your real...
I feel like it's like his real life to me.
I can't tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
And but I enjoy that about comedians. Yeah. But it's very rare that you see it where you're just like, ah, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Brian Callen's one of our faves.
I love Callen. Callen and I go way back. I've been in rooms.
Been in the game for so long.
So long.
Now.
Yeah.
Shit.
And one of the hardest working guys. We did a show. I have a great story about Callen. We did this crazy show at the World Cafe in Santa Monica. And some dude was being the worst fucking heckler. And Callen's a killer. Like, he's a piece
of... Oh, yeah. His headliners are fucking funny.
He's great.
Not just a headliner, but he can fight.
Oh, yeah, like in real life, he trains.
He trains.
He's a trained fighter. Yeah. So the whole time we're like, Callen, just fucking kill that dude. And his, I think his wife was with him at the time or something. He's like, I can't. My wife's here. She won't let me kill that guy.
Yeah.
All the comics were like, for the love of God, Callen, just fucking destroy that cat. And we wanted to make, he didn't end up killing the guy, but they kind of had words, and then the dude kind of backed off and went away. And I love Callen. Callen's the best because Callen will fucking go right into, he'll go right at people.
He's a genuinely hilarious guy.
He's
all
a naturally
day long,
funny cat.
Where there's no like, all right, great. He needs jokes to go up on stage. Whereas, you know, look, you've seen it. A lot of 90% of comedians aren't funny in real life. Couldn't have a real conversation with him. No. But no, Callen's one of those genuinely
in,
hilarious
up the
dudes all day
and
long.
And is just having fun all day.
Yeah.
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 What do you
think? Which seems so exhausting at times, doesn't it? We're like, dude, got to turn it off. At some
yeah,
point.
Exactly. I know guys like that. And it's annoying.
When you
I'm
were
kidding.
Watching Robin Williams like get interviewed later in his career, you're like, oh, this just is coming off sad.
Yeah.
At some point, you want to be just like, can you just be normal for 5 minutes? But some people can't. They just can't turn it off.
I enjoy the fuck out of it, though. Like, I think Robin Williams got the gig of like, hey, I'm famous as shit. Everybody's paying for this. I'll be hilarious all goddamn long. As soon as the camera's off, I'm going to drink and be as depressing as I actually am.
Oh, no. He still had to be the funniest guy in the room, I feel like.
Well, the one time, so I met him once, right? And it was at Bird's on Franklin.
Sure.
And I was like, man, holy shit, that's
Robin Williams. It's a big one.
And he was so drunk and depressing that I was like, God damn. I mean, it brought my whole shit down. Same with Jim Carrey. When I met Jim Carrey, he was so depressed it brought my whole shit down. I was like, Jesus Christ. But then you meet somebody like Callen, who is normal, fun, blast all the time.
He's a normal cat.
I would rather party with Callen nine times out of ten than Robin Williams, where you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Rogan effect that's going on right now in comedians?
What is the Rogan effect?
Every time you go on Rogan, it's like Oprah.
So it is.
For
it
every
is.
Comedian that's going on.
It used to be like Chelsea lately.
Bert's one of those.
Yeah,
Bert was a good
group.
Friend back in the day. I haven't seen him in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
But, dude, that guy was a grinder forever. Goes
Kreischer
on Rogan.
Or Rogan?
Bert Kreischer. Bert Kreischer goes on Rogan, absolutely explodes. Same with the rest of those guys. What do you feel about that as far as helping comedians these days?
It's amazing. Rogan's, he's a machine. I mean, what he's doing is crazy.
Have you done stand-up with him?
No. I've seen him in the improv a bunch of times. I've never been even on the same lineup with him, I don't think, over the years. I do remember seeing him before News Radio one time live at the Improv, and he did this bit about, I think it was lions fucking or something. And
yes.
I was rolling. I was like, God damn, that guy's funny. He tore the stage apart.
Yeah.
And then I think he got News Radio like the next year or something. And I was just starting comedy, and I saw him, and I was like, the commitment was just over the top, and it was a great bit.
So what's your overall dream going forward? Movies? Because, look, you had a hit
show
on TBS.
I want to stop working, be independently wealthy, play some golf. Hang out with my kids.
And you're done with it.
Tour. No, I like doing, I love doing stand-up, and I love the acting part. It's a grind at some point because you're always continually looking for new jobs. We were talking to Lemmy. I'm doing his show, Tacoma Fire Department, that's coming out, and I did I'm Sorry. So I'm always recurring, and I'm hosting a show for the Travel Channel, Ghost Hunting Show.
No shit.
Did you not know? Did you know that
I
one?
No.
Yeah.
Do you believe
we talked
in it?
About this.
I don't not believe in it.
He doesn't not believe
why,
it.
Why so? This is great. So my wife,
are you guys ghost hunting?
No. But she does the sound for a lot of these shows. We've had this debate on my show, Ross Patterson Revolution, forever. I believe in ghosts. She doesn't. Yes or no? Ghosts are real.
I don't know. I've never seen. I don't know.
Here's mine and Tyler's theory. Tyler Gray.
Okay.
From SEAL Team.
There's, where are all the bodies?
Yeah.
Where are all the bodies? Shut the fuck up.
There's 15 billion dead people right now. That would mean shoulder to shoulder, no matter where you walk, you're walking around on ghosts. So where are they all?
Well,
that's,
I guess
that's really not accurate, because everybody that's alive right now would fit in downtown Miami. If they just all stood straight up, you would still fit there. So what you're saying is fucking
you're
retarded.
Saying you can fit 4 billion people in
7.8 billion people, which is how many actually
Miami.
Yes.
You're
Got
so
it.
Full of
Wait,
shit.
Wait, are we stacked on top of each other?
No. Standing side by side like China, kind of.
Yeah, that's very similar roll. To China.
Yeah. Everybody that is alive right now on Earth, which is about double.
How much
double,
cubic space does a human take up?
That's how much? That's how
that's
they did
great
the math
question.
For this.
Who this, did this?
MythBusters did this.
They
yeah.
did this.
They
this
did. Yeah,
Miami.
Yeah.
Yes. We'd fit I love
Miami.
That they chose Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
I'm still there's well, a lot of dead ghosts.
We're gonna put people right next to each other by the billions. And you know what we should choose? A really hot, humid area.
Well,
let's see. Let's get them all there.
I don't know if weather played a factor. I think it was the size of the city.
In Miami.
Who knows?
Interesting.
But why would you,
I can't
why
help
would,
but notice that Jared is a little tired today. Did you catch this at all?
It's not that he's tired. He is hungry. So it's like a bear where it's just
is he
like,
hungover?
Hey, yeah, yeah,
no.
Feel the bear. No, not at all.
Not at all.
It was his birthday yesterday.
You didn't tear it up last night?
How no. old do you think Jared is?
24.
Come on.
Add 30
is that
years
real?
To that.
Hmm?
Is that real?
No.
No. How old do you think Jared is?
I don't know. To do the math, I would say 30.
Four.
34.
34. 34. Yeah. He turned 34 yesterday. Didn't really want to do that much except you played first-person shooter video games. We did maybe 2 hours worth of fake rap songs on the internet.
Yeah.
I felt like you lived your best life for your birthday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
had
did.
A steak.
Yeah. You had your favorite steak at your favorite restaurant.
Where'd you go?
And that was nice.
It's right.
Oh, by your house.
It's literally outside my elevator.
Yeah.
Jared's
all about
convenience.
What?
Did you fly in this morning?
We flew
in
this morning.
Everything
you saw see here was set up.
It is. It is. Okay. So you didn't answer
Let's
the question.
Get back on
you
the
believe
train
in ghosts?
Track.
Yeah. Do you believe in ghosts? Yes.
I believe there's something out there. I haven't had an experience myself where I've been like, oh my God, that's Uncle Ted. But I will tell you, hosting that show, like it was a live ghost hunt, and it's from the guys who do Ghost Towns on the Travel Channel, the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. So I would go, I would fly to Tennessee every week, Thursday. We'd shoot it live. It was awesome. Live show in this crazy Civil War mansion. And these guys would go on a live ghost hunt, and we'd have all kinds of cameras set up around the house, and it was really intense. And I did see many things where I was like, hey, what's that doing moving?
Yeah.
There was some crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. So I didn't even know the world existed until I kind of fell into it. And now it's so intriguing to me. But I'm always like, it's always some ghost from like, you know, the 1720s who was buried in an Indian graveyard. Where's the dude who, like, got drunk and crashed into a tree in 1988?
Yeah, what ghost do you want to
meet?
Where's
he?
He's, like, super into Reagan and cocaine.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Where's the guy that you want to meet? What's the ghost that you want to meet? Since you're doing a ghost show,
let's
go.
What ghost would I want to meet?
First ghost, who do you want to meet?
Probably Anne Frank.
Yeah, that's mine.
Really?
That's mine.
Wow. That's
I'm going Dom DeLuise.
Dan and I are Francophiles.
I want to ask her.
That's Dom DeLuise is a good one.
I want to ask Anne Frank, how do you feel about all these assholes who took your private diary about the most tragic moment maybe in human history and made it a fucking book?
You don't think she'd feel great about it?
No.
That her word was, oh my God,
I
the immortality she has?
Dave Chappelle does a great bit on this. He's like, I don't call 911 for two reasons. One of them was because he doesn't think that the police would believe a black guy lived in a house that nice.
Right.
So he's afraid that they would.
Well, that's Chris Rock. He goes, I'm rich, and none of you white motherfuckers want to trade places with me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the other one was because, oh, God damn it, I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about five seconds ago? Anne Frank.
Call 911.
He doesn't want to call 911 because he doesn't want to have an embarrassing moment that's recorded on video or audio tape. Like, oh, my God, there's a killer in the house. Oh, I shit myself.
That,
you know
that's
I mean?
Funny because they always play those on the news.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So with
yeah.
Frank, it's, you know, obviously we're Francophiles.
We are big time,
It's the same thing where it's just like, oh, my God.
It's a private diary.
Her
like,
diary's
would you,
out in the open.
If you recorded the most fucked up moment of your life, would you want other people to experience?
That's why I always talk about the fact that I feel very lucky that I grew up in an era when I did, before the internet, before everyone had a camera. We would go to bars and just get shit house. Like, people couldn't walk out of the bar. And I think people are a little gun shy to do that anymore because they know they're going to get filmed and get shamed online.
Not
and
me,
so,
though. I've vomited on myself in public with
the
last
6 months. You want to know something about Anne Frank?
I was with you when that happened.
You want to know something about Anne Frank?
Yeah.
She's a Bieber fan.
Oregon?
Well, Bieber was a fan of hers.
Well, no, Bieber wrote in the Anne Frank House guest book that
if she was alive, she would be a believer, which is probably true.
It is,
Oh, Justin Bieber wrote that.
I mean, she was a 14-year-old girl, so
I thought you said Bieber fan.
No, Bieber.
No.
And that's why I said Oregon. I was like, because I was trying to keep it somewhat.
She never made it to Oregon, or else she'd still be alive today.
She would be a Bieber. She would be a Bieber fan.
Oh,
Bieber.
She's a 14-year-old.
I think so, That was like a controversy 3 years ago.
It was.
You know what I mean? Like, at least then it was like, oh, man, Justin Bieber kind of
I love that he's fighting depression now. Did you see that?
Is he really? Is
I don't
too
know
much money.
He's married
too much
to a
pussy.
Supermodel. What's he? Yeah. What's,
can
what's
we? Can we just develop a school for these people to come hang out with us for about a week?
You'll
and we
fix
just
him.
Call him a fucking pussy.
He's
and
a pussy.
Tell him to shut up and be like, you don't.
I'm
just,
so depressed.
Just fuck off.
Could it be the fact that you never went to school and had a normal childhood and grew up in a neighborhood with friends, and that you've been like on a pedestal since you were fucking 8 years
and
old?
You have enough money to do whatever you
Anything
want.
Do whatever you want
for your grandkids. No one's gonna have to work again for the rest of your life.
Yeah. By the way, breaking news: Robert Kraft was freed. So I'm super stoked about that. The New England Patriots owner. For getting jacked off at that massage parlor.
Well, he just has to do what's called an allocution, which is...
It's you great. Have to,
yes, go ahead.
You have to admit in court that, one, you did what they accused you of, and two, that you would have been found guilty of it had they actually taken you to court. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, and then he can go back to getting fucking hand jobs, bro.
That's He's a billionaire. It, Here's my problem with that whole thing. It's like you're a billionaire. You can't just have the chick come over to your hotel.
Exactly.
What are you doing going to a strip mall in
no,
the middle
yeah,
of Florida?
No, but still, it's such a stretch, though. In even that, the headlines.
Oh, it was a stretch.
The headlines, stretched it. Though, were, you know, in a sting of prostitution. He got caught at a rub and tug.
A rub and tug.
Like, yeah. Get the fuck out of here with that.
And, you know, did you see he was in there? They had the time, and they were really adamant to go, like, he walked in. 12 minutes later, he walked out. Like, something insanely quick of, like, he must have walked in and been like, just do it quick, and I got
to
go.
No, to me, that is a very good advertisement for the rub and tug.
And he went twice within, like, 18 hours or something.
Wow.
That was the second time he went.
I guarantee you, there's not a woman alive right now that could jerk me off in 12 minutes.
Are you sure?
Stop.
Are you
no
sure?
Where, that is. There's no way.
No. Do you remember that fucking really shitty Mark Wahlberg movie?
Oh, you're
movie,
definitely not married.
The
then.
Big Hit. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah,
when you're married, your
yeah.
wife's like, you got 30 seconds. Either you finish or this is over.
Yeah.
Then it's over, bro.
No.
I move on.
You got to concentrate.
I don't live in the
past. I thought
past
you had a stronger
like
brain. You
I
can't
do.
Control your body?
I control my soul.
Can you control like your breathing and everything else and you can't control that?
No, I'm autistic. I can't do any of that
Oh, you
shit.
Can't?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
I can do math.
You got to
well.
Learn to go full sting and go tantric and get your body into
I should
it.
Really look into that.
Full sting.
Yeah,
you should.
Yeah.
2 hour orgasms.
I'm also going to change my name to a fucking mononym that's a present participle or present
do.
Perfect verb.
Yeah, you yeah. should. You
How about
should.
That?
Jamie, this is the part in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week. It's somebody who's inspired you or helped you on the come up. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I'm going to give it to Jared.
Really?
Damn.
Yeah.
Jared Capu
He inspires
Taylor.
Me.
Why?
Because, and here's, I'll tell you about this.
Like,
this
I is, don't want to become Jared.
No,
so I've been
no
writing,
one does.
I've
no
been writing
does.
A book.
Okay.
And my whole theory on life is I want to be an unmotivational speaker. I think people are, it's like, what are you trying to get accomplished? Because if you think about it, none of us are going to be remembered in 3 generations. So why the fuck are people working so hard? Like Zuckerberg, you won, cash out. But they don't think that way.
Right.
And so... For me, as you age, the trick is to not to stay current. And so when I talk to Jared, he always gives me, you know, he kind of keeps me up to speed. So I feel like I'm learning and I'm inspired by what you guys are doing, and not to be total kiss asses, but I do. I think it's amazing what you guys are doing because I came up through the system in a totally different style, where I had to get up on stage and bust my chops, and now you guys have figured out the digital world to a degree where you should be writing a book teaching people
well,
what
actually,
you're doing.
Perfect segue. That book comes out in July.
There you
it's
go.
It's called then. Matt Best Freedom On. Matt and I wrote it, and it'll be out through Penguin.
It should. I mean, honestly.
Through
and
Penguin.
When I
it,
met
it tells
these
the story
dudes.
Of Black Rifle Coffee.
Yep.
It tells the story of Jared Taylor, how he put all of this together,
yep.
how he brought all of us together, really. Not only for the podcast, but for the movie and the books and all of this stuff. So, actually, that's a real thing. That book is coming out.
Well,
summer.
It should be. I mean, it is a way. Like, dude, I know it, you probably try to downplay it, but there is kind of a Steve Jobs aspect to what you fuckers are doing. Because
I can't wait until we all
get
cancer.
You're still creating.
That's what I'm waiting for.
To what?
Till we all get cancer like Steve Jobs.
Oh, well. Yeah.
That's what I've been working on.
You
for.
Really can't control your body.
Dan wants no. to die. Here's the
you?
Thing. Dan really, really wants to die.
Look, there's a lot of things.
Why can't
too.
You find happiness?
Wow.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
He can, oh, yeah. And a girl that might stab him in the middle of the night. That's the
Some
only way
like
that he
that.
Can get yeah. through it. Or killing hundreds of people, which he's already done and he can't go back and do.
Either
so.
One.
I hooked yeah. up with a girl in Texas one time, and I was in the Navy at the time, and we were staying at some base, and we all went to a strip club, and, you know, I don't mess with the strippers, but the waitresses.
Oh, yeah. They're free game.
If you can get a waitress at a strip club, like, that's an achievement. Because they're not even getting naked. They're the not naked ones. And so we took her back to the I was staying on base at the
You said we took her back. We took her. We as a plural.
We took a group. There was a group of us. So we all went back.
Okay, because that sounds very rapey,
it wasn't
what you
just,
said.
You know, yeah, it did sound. It's not.
No, sure,
if anything,
sure.
It was going to turn the turn. Because I'm an Irish Catholic guy, dude. I'm covered in red fur. I don't even like the lights on. I'd like to be hidden in the dark.
Yeah, of course.
If the girl wants the lights on, she has to wear a miner's helmet that just illuminates me alone. So she, I brought her back, and then we kind of end up together in a room, and then my buddy was going to become a SEAL, and she was like, he'd been talking about his fucking knife collection all night, some lunatic. And she goes, hey, go get one of your buddy's knives, and I'll show you some stuff with it. I'd met her 2 hours earlier. I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's not fucking happening. I'm not putting a knife in your hand. And she told me the whole story from Shogun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where the beauty, you feel the sharp blade against your skin and it's supposed to be a turn on. Do you like shit like that?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Really? No. I'm actually
it sounds
surprised
like something
by
you
that.
Would be like.
It, yeah, same here.
No,
yeah.
For me, it's about the personality.
It's you just want to know she will kill you at some point.
She will kill you, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There has to be some impending death involved, or I'm not interested in whatever it is.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I get all that. I get all that.
I get it, but you've got to conquer it.
Why? I love my life.
Okay.
It's fucking funny, dude.
Well, what happens when you push the envelope just enough where you end up, you don't make it?
No, we already have a plan for
that. Yeah, well, that's when I'm going to blow the
Viking funeral. That's what I want.
No, we're doing it even better.
So wait.
Boat full of wood.
Tell the audience, because you told me this story today.
How does this story end?
This was the best story I've ever heard of how you want to end your life.
Man, I don't want to have
some. No, it's not sad at all.
Tell them how you want to end your life. It's the greatest.
We're going to have a surprise birthday party for me. I'll be involved.
I mean, yeah, I'll probably throw the party, and I'll invite all you guys.
I'm in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show up. And everyone's going to yell surprise. And I'm like, good, you're all here. And I'm going to pull out a gun and blow my brains out in front of everyone I know.
That's such a... why wouldn't you do it at the end of the fucking party? Why would you wreck the party?
I've been...
No, that's how you start the party.
That's how you start the party.
Because
then we end the party.
Bullshit. No, you fucking...
It's the party.
No.
Where it's just like,
you party with your friends. And at the very end, you go, hey, everyone... Wrap it up. You got to go. Boom. And then you take it out. It's on the fucking exit.
Maybe.
What are you, crazy?
I'm on the entrance.
I was trying to get him to just save it. Once he decided it was time, save it for just a minute inconvenience where we're in public or something where, you know, maybe someone, we're trying to rent a car and they're really fucking it up. And he's, oh, God, dick.
I actually had a really good idea just now. What if I pull into a gas station? I forget my gas tank's on the other side of the car. And I get out and look at him like, fuck, boom.
you're in a supermarket and the guy goes paper or plastic. The guy goes fucking choices. Boom.
Yeah, right, yeah. Or you say
it's
paper.
Something.
Fuck, I meant plastic.
Plastic.
Boom.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And then I just want to be second in line and go, he's overdramatic sometimes. Don't worry, he's overreacting right now.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get cheese on that? Yeah, but it's 50 cents extra. What the fuck?
Boom. Fuck you, dude.
You got to pick
fuck
something
you.
Good because you only get one shot.
You get one shot.
Literally one shot at it.
Hey, and it's like Lee Harvey Oswald said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Can you do it cleaner?
Was it?
Is there a better way to do it than just a fucking gun seems below you?
It'll probably be a water impulse charge. You familiar with that?
Don't they kill cows that way where it's like the poof thing?
Yes. Yes.
It's a similar concept. So water impulse charge is like a bag of water, basically. Yeah. Then some kind of like concave metal.
Yeah.
And then an explosive in between those two things. And it basically blasts all the energy through the water and it turns the water into energy. So I want to be walking down the street one day.
Have your head explode?
Yeah, and just no. My head
like
disappears.
Scanners.
My head just goes, and my body
scanners.
Keeps on
wow,
walking.
That's a
body keeps walking. Head. Well,
let's all let's
disappears.
All come up with better ways
no,
for you to die.
This is for like
or
the,
let's not.
The
no.
Today Show on NBC.
That's not.
Yeah. The Today Show's a great one.
The Today
he wants
Show.
To walk up to the glass on the Today Show right when Roker's reading, like, oh, hey, happy 100th birthday to Alma Wacker Patterson. Boom! His fucking face explodes against the glass in the background. Savannah's all fucked up, like, oh, God, why? Like, that would be a money
actually, that does sound pretty cool.
There it is.
Here's the way you should do it, though. How about if you just had a big tub of liquid nitrogen? And then at the end of the party, you get in, you freeze yourself, and then Jerry comes up with an aluminum bat and just shatters you like like the
T-1000. And then everybody takes a piece.
And they put it in their drink.
It's nice.
And we use you as the ice for the... If that's the case, you do have to go at the beginning of the party because we're going to need the ice.
I've got some of George Washington's wooden teeth that I super glue in over mine that, you know, I just like to walk around with.
Speaking of T-1000, we're going to be hanging out with Robert Patrick later this
week. Is he coming?
Yes.
He's the best, man.
Yeah. That's what everybody says. Everybody says he's the best interview on the planet. You were one of our favorite interviews on
yes,
the planet.
Yes, you're coming back this week.
Thank you so much for
that's
being
it, I'm
here.
Done?
Yes. Jamie, right. Where can people find you on social media?
Jared, where can people find me? You're teaching me.
Yeah, Jamie, just your name.
Jamie Kaler. I love when people, you can Google me, Jamie Kaler. But for guys out there who are parents, I've posted some stuff in the Drinking Bros groups.
Drinking Bros Dads.
Drinking Bros
He's
Dads.
He's very active in.
The Poo Poo Brothers.
Professional.
Poo Poo Professionals. So come find me at the Dadlands.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The there. Dadlands.
But come, and watch Tacoma FD with Lemmy, our buddy, and come find me. Say hi.
We will announce when you launch your new show.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. No, hey, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Are you kidding?
You. Jamie Kaler, ladies and gentlemen, for Jared Taylor.
Boom.
D'Anthony, boom, on the Today Show, Holloway. I am Ross Patterson. Good night, everyone.